Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 15 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English and numerous other languages are available to you all the time and anytime on the website TWR360. That's TWR360.org. Just type in Hope for Today in the search bar and you'll find the available teaching on TWR360.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. The ability you and I have to see is a wonderful gift from God. To perceive light and darkness, to appreciate the breathtaking beauty of a sunset, to notice the exquisite shading of a variegated rose, or to witness a baby's first smile, and to see the light of love in a person's eyes. All of these things add beauty and wonder and mystery to our lives. But the ability to see doesn't necessarily equal true sight. Today, modern surgery has given some formerly blind people the power to see light and color and shapes and more. But their minds have no ability to form the images into anything remotely familiar to them. Physicist Arthur Zajonc describes the history of light and the mind as being entwined, and someone has correctly described these two as the ultimate metaphors of the human spirit. From both animal and human studies, we know there are critical developmental windows in the first years of life. Sensory and motor skills are formed. And if this early opportunity is lacking, trying to play catch-up is hugely frustrating and almost always unsuccessful. Author Zajonc quotes from a study by a Dr. Moreau, who observed that while surgery gave the patient the power to see, the employment of this power, which as a whole constitutes the act of seeing, still has to be acquired from the beginning. Dr. Moreau said, "To give back sight to a congenitally blind person is more the work of an educator than of a surgeon." To which Zajonc adds, "The sober truth remains that vision requires far more than a functioning physical organ. In other words, it's not enough just to have eyes that perceive color and light. Without an inner light, without a formative visual imagination, we are blind," he explains. "That inner light, the light of the mind, must flow into and marry with the light of nature in order to bring forth the world." Arthur Zajonc's words are powerful in relation to physical sight, but they also have an application to spiritual sight. In our study of Luke's Gospel, we've come to the concluding verses of chapter 18. In verses 31 to 43, Jesus predicts his imminent suffering and death, and then he heals the blind man from Jericho. Viewed in the context with the earlier parts of the chapter, it's a powerful reminder that faith and sight are inextricably linked together. So listen now as I read this portion of the Holy Scripture. That's Luke chapter 18, verses 31 to 43. "Then Jesus took the 12 aside and said to them, 'Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked, and insulted, and spit upon. They will scourge him, and kill him. And the third day he will rise again.' But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man, sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. This text provides examples of how faith and sight are inextricably linked together. Let's look at them. The first example of how faith and sight are inextricably linked together is the word without faith. Recall with me that just prior to our text, Jesus promised the 12 certain rewards because they forsook everything to follow him. Immediately following that promise, he gathers the 12 to himself and he gives them details about the near future. Now, as we've noted before, they're on their way to Jerusalem for the Passover. And this Passover will be unlike any other because the Passover lamb this time will not be an animal, but the Lamb of God. Jesus reminds them they're not going to Jerusalem haphazardly, and they're not simply going to participate in the Passover feast. Jesus is on a mission that has, in his words, been outlined in centuries past by the prophets of Israel. So he tells the 12 that all the things the prophets have written about him will be fully accomplished. He specifically tells them this: he'll be handed over to the Gentiles, the Roman authorities. That had to happen because the Jewish leaders didn't have the authority to put anyone to death. He also told them he would be mocked and ridiculed and insulted and spit upon by both Jews and Gentiles. Further, he will be flogged and put to death by crucifixion. On the third day, he will rise again. The 12 knew well what the prophets had written. Isaiah's prophecies in chapters 50 to 53 relating to Jesus' crucifixion were extremely detailed. And numerous Psalms also give details of the experience of crucifixion, even though that form of death was not known at the time they were written. But notice verse 24 of our text. It says, "But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken." You know, Luke seems unable to say strongly enough how entirely hidden from them at the time was the sense of these very plain statements. He says they understood none of these things. His sayings were hidden from them, and they could not grasp the meaning of his words. How can this be when the words were so plainly spoken? They heard with their ears the words that Jesus said, but it didn't penetrate their hearts. As I reflected on this moment in their shared experience, my mind went to Jesus' conversation with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus after his resurrection. Do you remember his rebuke to them in their sorrow? Luke records him saying this, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, did you catch the reason why the 12 missed the clear meaning of Jesus' words in our text? They didn't believe. The message they heard didn't benefit them because it wasn't united with faith in their hearts. I'm sure they appreciated the promises of reward Jesus gave them regarding their forsaking all and following him. But they didn't accept the suffering. And Mark's gospel specifically records Jesus including persecutions in with the promised rewards. So in their minds, they created a picture of what Messiah's reign would look like. And because suffering didn't fit the profile of a conquering king and his loyal subjects, they rejected it. They ignored it. They were blind to it. Even though they had the physical sight, their lack of faith made them blind to the truth. The word without faith makes seeing people blind. And you know, my friend, how much we are like them. Too often we pick and choose the things we believe. The positive things of God we embrace gladly, the joy of the journey, the blessings of daily provision, and the promise of eternal glory. The negative things, we tend to ignore them. Suffering, the sacrifice, the self-surrender that's demanded of all genuine Christ followers. When the things Jesus was telling them about began to happen, what did the 12 do? According to Mark chapter 14 and verse 50, they all deserted him and fled. You see, their refusal to believe what Jesus had said left them blindsided by the events as they happened. The same will happen to you and me if we refuse to believe the Word of God. There are some Christians who think they'll never experience suffering and persecution like many of our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world. They have a mindset that it can't happen here. That's a lie. It's a trick of the devil. Closing our minds to the things we don't like won't prevent them from taking place. Refusing to acknowledge truth doesn't make it untrue. And you know, the scriptures prophesy many things about the second advent of Christ and the conditions you and I will face as the end of the age approaches. And yet there are professing Christ followers who refuse to accept the words of scripture. Let's not make the same mistake the 12 did by refusing to believe the clear teachings of Jesus. Their lack of faith left them blind to the truth. And what a contrast between the 12 and the blind man of Jericho. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, Faith for Sight. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That's mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Faith for Sight. I'd be happy to send one to you. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That's mail@heraldsofhope.org. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, Faith for Sight. It's available either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime at the website twr360.org. When you go to their homepage, just type in Hope for Today in the search bar, and you'll find the available teaching. Thousands are logging on to the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, Faith for Sight. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.